Today is January 4th, and we're going to start the SALT book today, and we're going to talk about lesson number one, your earthly tent. And to honor that, I actually brought a tent today. This tent I purchased when I was 18 years old, and it was the first time I ever took Julie camping. Was in this tent. I tied it on the back of the BSA motorcycle I had at that time, and we went tent camping. And when we woke up in the morning, it was raining, and Julie says, well, what do we do now? And I said, well, we just lay here until it gets done raining. And she said, I always heard that if you touched a tent when it was raining, that it would leak. I said, yep. And she reached up right in front of her nose and touched the side of the tent. And sure enough, you know what happens when you do that? Chinese water torture. It drips right on your head. And she actually has the audacity to lay there in her sleeping bag and say, Bill, it's leaking water on my face. I don't like it. Make it stop. And I'm thinking, 12 years later, I took this tent to the Boundary Waters in Ely, Minnesota on a canoe trip, and at that time I made a clear plastic rain cover for it to deal with the problem that my, at that time, beloved wife had acquired to the tent. But I made a plastic rain cover to go over it, and I understand why there are so many lakes in that part of the country and the southern part of Canada is because it rains all the time. And the mosquitoes are big. And this is the tent that I was laying on a rock up there on an island right in between the United States of America and Canada. And it again was raining. Actually, every time I've taken Julie camping, it's either rained or snowed. But that week that I was up there in the Boundary Waters, it rained a lot. And I was laying there, and the plastic rain cover did work quite well. But I was bored, and I was hunting through my backpack to find something to snack on. I knew I had a bag of peanuts in there, and Julie had snuck a New Testament into my backpack that had in the back of it four spiritual laws. I had read all the New Testament before, but never really made much sense to me. And when I read the four spiritual laws, it seemed like the most logical thing I had ever understood. And at that point in time, laid there on a flat rock, cold and wet, and gave my heart and life to the Lord Jesus, and things have never quite been the same. When I opened my eyes, I hoped the mosquitoes would be smaller, the fish would be bigger, and the rain would stop, and it would warm up, but none of those things really happened. What did happen is something began to slowly change inside of me. A few years later, I was out in Colorado, and this tent went to the bottom of the Grand Canyon with my son Christopher and I. This was the tent that we took on his trek of transitioning from being a boy to being a man. We had a rite of passage, and we hiked to the bottom of the Grand Canyon, carried way too much stuff, way too much weight, and back out. And the good part of it was, is I injured my knee, and on the way out, Christopher was actually enough of a young man that he began to take some of the things out of my pack and put them into his pack so that my load was lighter coming up the side of the canyon. So that tent has been a lot of places. Now, the Bible uses a tent as an illustration of our physical bodies. Here's our key scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20 says this. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and is given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So honor God with your body. So the practical reality is that the Holy Spirit lives within our earth suits, our earthly tents. And that takes place because of the purchase that Jesus Christ did for us. So in our diagram this morning, we're going to draw a tent. And this is kind of a Jewish-styled tent. But I want you to draw a tent on the back of your bulletins. That's our tent. And then you got to have guide ropes on your tent to hold it. So put a guide rope on either side. And this is what we're going to use to illustrate our body. We believe that as we read through the Bible this year, beginning at Genesis, that God created you. You were created by God. Your body was created by God. God actually made Adam's body from the dirt, shaped it, molded it, all the organs, all the implements like that, just like a potter does clay. And then breathed into him the breath of life, put into that body his spirit and soul. But they were two distinct, different things. His physical body and then the soul that was put in it. So, there are the practical realities that we can use our earthly bodies for either good or evil. And that's something that we need to deal with. So this is our earthly tent. And you could write that right above your earthly tent. When we think about our earthly tent, it's not the most important part of us. You know, when you think about the tent, what's more important, the tent or the people that live or reside within the tent? Which one? I mean, I've had this tent for 40 years. Bought it when I was 18, and today I'm 58, so I've had it for 40 years, so it's been a good old tent. But basically, it's not as important as the people who camp in it, me, or Jules and I. Actually, Jules likes a bigger tent than a pup tent these days. She likes a little more space than that when we go camping. Actually, she likes to camp in a holodome, to tell you the truth, is the way she likes to camp. But anyway, back to the lesson. Inside the tent, I want you to draw a chair. Have some furniture inside of our tent. And right on that chair, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Those of us who have been born again, who have accepted Christ's forgiveness for our life, have been indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And that living within us is more important than our physical bodies. But there are many people in our culture who believe the physical body is the most important part, not what resides within it. And maintaining that, keeping that, dealing with that consumes many people in our culture and our life. Now, our physical bodies in and of themselves are not evil. There's nothing evil about your body. For periods of time in religious culture, they have said that your body was evil and so forth. But really, it was made by God, and Jesus had one of these and lived in it for 30 years. And practically speaking, there's nothing evil about your body, although there are times and spaces in our lives when we could use them for evil. When I was remembering this morning about my birthday, when I used to work down at the steel mill, Ozzie's dad ran a scale shack down there. And I remember at one point in time in my mid-20s that they actually had a pool and they were taking bets that I wouldn't make it to 30 years of age, that I was going to die before that, which was based on one of them saw me riding my motorcycle, actually racing somebody across the bridge on the sidewalk. And as they were passing by in the traffic, Jack Furr and I were racing each other, one on each side of the bridge on our Harleys. And I happened to be standing up, no-handed on the sidewalk at high speeds at about 2 o'clock in the morning, influenced by drugs and alcohol. And they were making bets that I'd never make it to 30 years of age. But I've made it to almost 60. But there was a period of time in my life when I didn't take very good care of my body. And I did things with it that were not God-honoring at that time. And we can still do that even though we have the Spirit of God living within us. Fortunately, most of the time now, I live my life in a pattern that honors God in a different way. So take your tent stake here on the right side and write down it, wonderfully made. Wonderfully made. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. As Marty sang that beautiful song this morning, the practical reality is that God made us wonderfully. Now, not all of my life have I been happy and content with the way God made me. I never really was a very big guy, and that's really not a fun thing when you're growing up to be the little guy, you know, the weak, sickly guy. That's really not a whole lot of fun. And there were periods of time in my life when I was not content with who I am. I know people that have lived a very long time and still are not content with who they are. They aren't comfortable in their own earth suit. Now, God bought me and paid for me through the... Say what? Yeah, you know that the tent does to sag. You know, you set up a tent, you tighten up the ropes, and it all looks really nice, and then you come back the next morning, and you need to tighten up the tent ropes because it begins to sag. And some of us, as we get older, we probably just need to cinch up the ropes a little bit. But, I mean, that is an activity of exercise. You do have to exert some exercise to do that. But there are many people who still aren't comfortable in their own skin. They haven't begun to believe the truth that God made you and He made you just the way He wanted you to be. And you and I have the opportunity to take care of our tent. Not because it's the most important thing about us, but because God made it, we could actually honor God by taking care of our tent. Now, the practical side of what I talk about a lot of times as we get together for church is that our tent belongs to God. So write that down the other row. This body belongs to God. God owns it. Now, most people in our culture, the vast number of people in our culture in the United States of America, don't believe that to be true. They don't believe their body belongs to God, that God owns it. They think it's yours or mine, and I can basically do whatever I want with it, which isn't really true. The truth is God made us, God owns us, and I say this to you all the time, God owns everything, and all we are is tenants who manage, stewards of God's property. So, when I begin to grasp the truth of that reality, that this belongs to God, and I'm just supposed to take care of it for Him, it changes the way I relate to my body. It's not mine. I just can't do with it whatever I want. And when I'm doing things with it that I know don't please God, that should give me a problem as a Christian. It should bother me when I'm not taking good care of my body. I had the idea that before I went to this chemo treatment and stem cell replacement, I was going to get into as good a shape as I could so that the recovery on the other side wouldn't be as strenuous. There's a reality that you lose muscle tone and you lose a lot of things when they blast you that hard with chemo. And I had the idea that I was going to get in good shape before I went. But I wasn't very faithful at accomplishing that task. So the reality is I still wrestle with that truth that my body belongs to God and that I am a tenant in this tent that He owns. So we need in all of our lives to improve in these concepts of focusing on the Holy Spirit within us, realizing and relating to in an honest, truthful, confident way that I am wonderfully made. And lastly, that my tent is going to be taken down. Put that right underneath. Someday, my tent is going to collapse. Now, I have the reality that dealing with cancer on a regular basis and the pain and the discomfort of the tumors that are in my body, I have no doubt at all that my body is dying. And it's designed to die based on what we read in Genesis, because Adam and Eve sinned, death entered the world, and my body is going to die. And when it does, I'm going to be slipped into another body. I will actually receive a heavenly body. And it, you know, as Beth Moore says this, it's just like slipping off a comfortable item of clothes and slipping on the other one. It's just changing clothes is all it is. Your spirit and your soul will be transported into another body. Now, if you've never taken the step of faith to accept what the Lord Jesus did and have the Holy Spirit of God come into your life and become born again, when you slip out of this earthly body, just like changing clothes, you will slip into a hell suit instead of a heaven suit. You will slip into a body that is designed by God to live in excruciating, agonizing pain for all eternity without destructing. So it'll be a different suit, a different tent that you will enter. So when this body is taken down, when this tent collapses, I will go into a heavenly body. Which body you go into is something you really need to deal with and think about. But the reality of the heavenly body is that it will be much more wonderful than this. And it was kind of fun to read the end of Revelations and then in a short period of time read Genesis and begin to look at how God is going to reshape and remake where we get to live and exist. And it was fun to read the other day that when God caused the flood, that there was oceans now, but there won't be oceans in the new thing. So all of us who really love to swim and scuba dive, you want to get that done in your earthly body. Don't wait for your heavenly body because there aren't those things then. You'll be doing other fun things in those times. But our heavenly body will be similar but not identical to this. When Jesus rose from the dead and they saw him, he looked similarly the same but not identically the same. So we have that opportunity to look forward to a new tent to live in. So as you finish this lesson, if you're just getting your books today, I do encourage you in this next week as you do your homework for lesson number two to actually walk through this lesson number one, look at all those scriptures and ponder and deal with these issues of being wonderfully made, of belonging to God, of having the Holy Spirit in you, and of enjoying the experience of getting a new body soon. So we're going to ask Marty to come up and lead us in a closing song. I'll ask you to pull your hymnals out, and we're going to close with Softly and Tenderly. It's in your hymnal, number 301. And then when we're done with that, I'd like you to come down, have some snacks in the basement, and then let's fellowship and talk about the realities of this in a group session.